I have it. It's on my bookshelf, and I have read it. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Managing Your Time, 3rd edition. Certainly, the desire to make the most of time is widespread. A whole cottage industry called time management has been spawned by the eager, almost desperate desire of business and commerce to squeeze every last effective second out of every single precious minute. And a library of literature, a cornucopia of how-to books, has been developed to help us find the best ways to use time, make time, save time. Because the disturbing fact is that time is one of those non-renewable resources. Once today has gone, it's gone, and it can't be recovered, salvaged, given another go. It comes and it goes, and when it's gone, it ain't coming back. Fact. One book on time management invites us to think of each day as a bank deposit of time with 86,400 seconds put into it per day. You can draw on the account right to the limit, but there are no overdraft facilities. You can't go beyond your allocation, and what you haven't used can't be carried over into the next day. You have May the 1st, 2024. You use it, and then you start with a fresh account the next day. And there are always, barring leap years, 365 days in the year, and that's your lot for 2024. Each day we open a new account. Each night the bank burns the day's records. There's no drawing on tomorrow. Now, you might think that 86,400 seconds would be more than enough time to get done all the things we want to attend to on any particular day. Yet the truth is, for many people, the effective use of time and finding ways to use it to achieve the goals, hopes and aspirations that we have is a major challenge, and we wonder how we can do it all better. Hence the shelves of the bookshops sagging with self-help manuals on the creative use of time. Hence those somewhat desperate, emotive-sounding phrases like save time, spend time, waste time, make up time, no time, time's up. And Church of Scotland ministers seem to be among the people most perplexed by this whole issue. In a recent survey, of all the subjects suggested by ministers for possible inclusion in future in-service training courses, the use of time was the number one concern, and the effective management of time has therefore become a major element in in-service personal development courses for ministers. Not how to be holy, how to be organised. Of course, there are plenty of hints and tips about how to pack more into your day and achieve the goals you set yourself within the designated time frame of 60 seconds to the minute, 60 minutes to the hour, 24 hours to the day, as regular as clockwork. Could I suggest, for example, and perhaps Arthur will agree with me, growing a beard? If you stop shaving every day for 40 years, you will save roughly 150 days of your life. No wonder women get so much more done than men, though men tend not to shave their legs, so perhaps it evens out. But there it is, 5 whole months saved. A simple way to achieve a lot. See Charles Dickens, How I Stopped Shaving and Wrote the Great English Novel. Other time-wise hints, and you'll thank me for these, include actually getting up immediately when the alarm goes off, getting up an hour earlier every day, making sure you unclutter the clutter of your life, and being unafraid to share responsibility with other people, trusting delegated tasks to them, tasks that you're not really needed for, though you might think you are. Ray Joseph's book, How to Gain an Extra Hour a Day, offers 500 useful tips towards the effective use of time. But, without doubt, the absolutely fundamental factor in sound time management is what the pundits call prioritising. You've got to find out what is most important to you and get on with that as the first priority. Imagine a man clutching a bundle of money, £300, and the bundle is made up of 2 £100 notes and the rest in singles. The money is blown out of his hands by a sudden gust of wind and scatters in the garden. What does he try to recover first? the two £100 notes. If he gets them before the next gust, his loss is not so painful. First things first. The main thing is to find out what is the main thing and keep it the main thing. The main thing is to find out what is the main thing and keep it the main thing. And this is the very truth you'll find that lies behind Jesus urging his followers to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added in due course. If the classic excuse for someone not handing in their homework is the dog ate my jotter, so the classic excuse for people not getting involved in worship and in service within the life of the church is, I just don't have the time. I could buy a yacht with the money if I got a Swiss franc for every time someone has offered that over the years as the reason for their non-appearance at church. No time. No time for prayer. No time to read their Bible. No time to meet with other Christians. No time for worship. No time for time with their Lord. I'm not talking about people who genuinely have to work on Sundays or have travel issues or health issues, but about those who have the freedom to choose how to spend their time, how to prioritise their programme. And the truth is, and it's a searing truth, a revealing truth, and a rather uncomfortable truth, we always find time for the things that matter to us. We always find time for the things that matter to us, so that maybe the rather lame excuse that there's not just enough hours in the day is maybe a clue that there's just not enough interest in our mind, enough passion in our heart, enough enthusiasm for our faith. For if that passion and enthusiasm were present, you can be sure we would deliver on the church thing, the involvement, the sharing, the hard work that comes with commitment and belonging. I think people who come along to a communicants class get a bit of a surprise when I tell them that under no circumstances do I want them to join the church. Joining the church, getting your name in a book, completing the course, is not the purpose of the exercise. It would not take us very far into the faith. Rather, it's about learning to love and follow Jesus Christ and committing ourselves to his way. Then once that is in place, the other stuff will come along naturally. If the motivation is right, the practice will be right. And talk about time for God and time for prayer and time for growing in the faith will have some mileage for us because the basic love for him is there. The fundamental desire is in place. You know how it works. When someone loves golf or bowls or sailing or skiing or football or friendships or getting fit or music or travel, they will always find time for that. Always make space on the schedule. Just imagine if the boy or girl of your dreams had said they cared about you. But they also said, but actually, I don't have time this week to see you. Oh, or next week. Oh, or the week after. You might have begun to wonder if they really cared for you at all. And you would have been right. When something really means something to someone, they give it priority in their timetabling. And where love for Jesus Christ and his church burn in our soul, the priorities are organised accordingly, which is how you will find working mums and harassed parents with lots of children and tired businessmen and teenagers with studying to do still finding time to practice their faith and serve in their church because they believe in it, they care about it, they make it a priority, numero uno. Back in the day when people used to offer the old, I just don't seem to have the time to get into my faith very much excuse, there was a time when I would nod sympathetically and pat them on the arm reassuringly and say, yes, it is difficult. Now, not so much. We make time for the things that come first in our life. And when we seek first the kingdom of God, the other stuff comes along naturally. We want to learn more. We're eager to give thanks. We need the company and support of other Christians. We understand and feel that God is the main thing, and we keep the main thing the main thing. The simple reality is that none of us knows how much time we have to play with. We might live to be 100, but whatever age we are now, the clock is ticking. The sand is slipping through the hourglass with inexorable purpose, 86,400 seconds per day, and we can't change that. We can't demand longer, convince ourselves that one day up ahead, when we've done this or dealt with that, then we'll... make some serious time and space for the things of the soul, we have now. We have today. Our 1,440 minutes, 7 days a week. Only the Beatles are allowed the luxury of 8 days a week. So the invitation comes. The challenge is laid out before us. To fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds. To fritter none of it away. To use it well. Always remembering that in, with and under the whole issue of our time and how we utilise it lies the question of where our heart is. What sits at the core of who we are. The kingdom of God. The rule of God's will in our life. And how we may be able each day to seek that kingdom first, and to serve it creatively and with joy.